windy peninsula. And just to let you know, Dino, I've actually booked two spots at that peninsula village for us.
Fantastic.
You're nearly there, actually. And actually, I'm older than you, aren't I? Yeah. How are you, mate?
Very well, mate. How are you?
Big night last night, I hear.
Big night, yep.
Tell us.
For me, yep. My beautiful little girl, or big girl now, 25-year-old daughter.
It's always little.
Yes, she'll always be my baby girl. She graduated, became a Bachelor of Music Management last night. I was a very proud father.
Fantastic. Port Melbourne. How's your head?
Yeah, it's all right.
A couple of shandies.
No, I wish. We were supposed to go fishing this morning.
We don't want to talk about that because I'm still upset. Tell everyone what happened. I rang you at 2 o'clock, was it?
Yeah, I could pull the message up. I reckon it was probably 2:45 or
the
something.
The plan like was, guys, that we were going to go and have a fish for a red.
Yep,
and
we were.
Around about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I pretty much slept on the chair, as I do, and I kept looking at a sock, and it was blowing hard north, and I mean hard north. So
hang on, you got a sock at your joint?
I love my sock.
Yeah,
it's just another part of the weather thing that we use, and by looking at that sock, you can tell
how strong the wind is.
Well, how strong it is, but more importantly, direction. Mm. Right, so a northerly coming straight in on you, because the northerly down near Rye, as you know,
killer.
You just can't launch. No. It's just ridiculous. And unfortunately, it kept blowing and blowing and blowing. I think about 9:30, it dropped off a bit.
Yep.
Actually, it dropped off not too bad. But by then, the damage was done, so to speak. So we missed out.
Mm.
Now, I had a look at the weather.
Yep.
And it looks cactus for the next 8 days.
Yeah, you bet. It's there's not much fun or not much fishing going to get done by.
No, but
then
it can change.
Yeah, of course it can.
I mean, you know, tomorrow could be different. Or
no complaints from me, mate. I've got Greek Easter this weekend.
I was going to say, actually, I had that on my list. You jumped in too early again, mate.
Sorry.
To all the Greek people out there,
yep.
Happy Greek Easter.
Yeah.
Right, now what's tomorrow's a Good Friday.
Good Friday. No, our tradition is no different to the Catholic tradition.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing we do is we've got a tradition on Sunday, and what we do is we break eggs. We hit, you know, we've got hard
boiled
eggs.
It's like your plate.
Well, yeah, kind
of same sort of thing.
Well, we Greeks need to break something, mate. So,
break heads.
Yeah. Greeks need to break something. So, yeah. So we're breaking eggs, but it will be a feast for us on Sunday. We'll have. Okay.
I haven't been able to get onto Ange in the last few days. I think he's busy cooking bread. Yeah. What's the big deal about the bread?
Well, they have a sweet bread which they call tsureki. Are we going to talk to Ange today?
No, he's too busy making bread.
Funny that name Ange with bread. Now, I have an Ange as well,
Angela,
and she was cooking bread for most of last Saturday. I think there's two families. Uh-huh. There's my family and her mother with her, also, let's say, her brother. Mm-hmm. She made 27 sweet breads.
So what's the big deal?
They call it the tsureki.
So you break it, what do you dip it in stuff or what do you
well,
do?
Well, you can have it. It's
sweet.
It's sweet. Yeah, you can have it with your food. I usually like to put a bit of jam on it or honey on it. It tastes nice.
Won't be any good for me because of the diabetes. But so this is Sunday.
It's
so
delicious.
Sunday, I'm sure it is, mate. Mm. Most things are instead of sweet that kill you.
Yep.
Delicious.
Of course.
So that's Sunday.
Yep.
And then that's it?
That's it, all over, Red Rover.
Okay, cool.
I'm not supposed to have eaten meat for last...
Seriously, being serious, you're not allowed to eat meat.
Yeah, okay, so if I was going to be serious, if I was going to be serious with it, 30 days ago I would have started the fast, right?
Wow,
and what? You're supposed to fast for 30 days. And what happens is you start to wean off all the food till eventually Good Friday you get to seafood, which has got to be boiled. You can't really have any oil or anything like that. So, you know, we would normally have like a prawns or a crab or mud crab. Thanks, Tommy, for ringing me up. We'll be talking to you later on. I've got a phone call from him.
Mm.
So that's the kind of stuff we would end up having on Sunday. And it's usually delicious. Why couldn't every Friday be Good Friday?
So you're fasting. Is that like it sort of cleanses you, is it? That's the idea?
Well, I think you're not supposed to eat anything that has red blood.
Oh.
That's what... is supposed to, and I could be wrong. I don't know. If there's any Greeks out there who know the tradition better than me, feel free to
school. More importantly, if there's any Greeks out there that are vampires, so they can let us know.
Or post on our Bayside Adventures Facebook page and let us know. Well,
a lot of Greeks in Victoria.
Oh, there is.
I forgot how many thousands.
It used to be the second largest Greek population in the world.
No, what's the first?
Well, Greece.
Oh, sorry, of course. That's stupid. Yay!
Thessaloniki. Thessaloniki is the first, yeah.
All right, very good. Now, a big week gone past. Firstly, we're excited to hear the other night, watching Facebook all the time, as you know.
Yeah, so let's just wind it back. Last Thursday night, we had Haley's mother on.
Yep.
Well, what was Haley's mother's name?
It was Jess.
Of course,
Jess.
Sorry, Jess.
Quite a distraught Jess. And she was letting us know about what had happened to her beautiful daughter, Haley, and how she'd gone missing.
Mm.
And we sort of put the message out there, as did a few more people. And pleased to report that on Friday, was it? Or the Saturday or something like that?
I think it was Friday. Mm. Friday, but yeah.
She got found.
Good story.
Mm. So good relief. News story, yeah.
Relief all over. So yeah, that's fantastic stuff. So
you know, we don't want to take credit for it. But
no, it's a community thing.
It's
and
community thing. We helped.
It was the police that found her.
Yep.
So thank you very much, Mr. Policeman.
Yeah. I seriously, it was a really emotional thing. I looked at you, and you were quite emotional about it. Last week, and I was trying to hold it together as well. And it was a pretty tough thing to listen to a mother. With the pain in her voice like she had, but
terrible. We said it's the worst thing that a parent can go through, their kid, losing their kid. Yeah.
And then I had such a magnificent thing last night with my daughter, to sit back in the crowd and watch my baby girl receive her bachelor degree, I think they call that nowadays, and she's ready to take on the big world. So
absolutely, no, I'm sure she will. Monday, Anzac Day, what an incredible day, right through even game.
It was, mate. You know, I mean, a lot of the sporting conglomerates or organisations like the NRL and the AFL, etc., take full advantage of the Anzac Day theme and the lest we forget, and they play all these big matches and I have to say I'm an NRL person I love it way better than the AFL. Still love the AFL, still a good sport to watch, but I was sitting there watching the Collingwood Essendon ceremony, the pre-game ceremony. I have
awesome.
To say,
awesome.
Yeah, wow. They just NRL just does not do it like the AFL does. Yeah. It was just a really spine-tingling moment to watch those soldiers march out and then to hear the last post being played in the new, and you know what a really nice thing that they did this year was. They not only sang the Australian National Anthem, they did the New Zealand one as well, which was because Anzac standing for Australian New Zealand Army Corps, of course. We were in the trenches together.
I watched all of it. I watched the service at Gallipoli as well, and that was just, you just feel it. But, I'm not really into footy, as you know, but next year, I'm going to go.
Like to get
year.
There. It's a phenomenal atmosphere, you know. It's, I guess, if you can be bothered with the crowds at the end of it and getting out of there.
Yeah, but it's just for me, you're going to probably be shocked about this. I've never been to a footy game, ever.
Well.
So, for me to say, of course, Collingwood, because Helen Barracks for Collingwood, and it's just that atmosphere as well of the game, but also the Anzac stuff. I reckon that'd be a good one to go to.
Would be.
You know,
would be. Apart from the grand final, they say it's probably the next best, the next biggest AFL game on the calendar. So would be a good one. I got a couple of invites to go to it, but as I say, I sort of wanted to use the Sunday. I fished on the Saturday and fished on the Sunday last week, so I wanted to relax on the Monday.
We'll talk about that. Now, before we do go to our first break, you've got a new sponsor now I saw her on Facebook in regard to, Swift.
Suzuki. My new ambassador.
Yeah.
I do. Nikki J.
Hello, Nikki.
Ultimate Fitness. Nikki Jacobson, who we've had on the show and we're going to have on the show again moving forward, who we know... runs Ultimate Fitness here in Mornington. Love to support our local community. I'm very, very big on it.
Yep.
Nikki Jacobson is just an absolute superstar of a human being. And not only that, she's an elite, world-class athlete.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You got to see her to appreciate it, don't you?
You do. I actually, you're probably going to laugh about this, and I'm dressed a little bit differently today.
A little bit casual.
I was actually at the gym today with her.
What?
She's taking me on as a project.
That's a good one. I'll tell you what, I'll see how she goes. If she does all right with you, then I might do it too.
Well, what are you saying, Chuck?
I'm just going to see how you go.
See how I go.
What are you going to do?
She's got me on a food regime, and she's also got me on a training schedule. So she's got this. There's an event coming up called the Stadium Stomp. I think that's about, I don't know, a month or so away, and you can have a full stomp or a half stomp, which is like you got, it's walking stairs of a stadium, and it's something like 1,000 or 2,000 steps or something or other. And I'm going to do the half stomp, so she reckons up to the full one yet, and see how we go.
I'm sure you'll do well. Now, Dean, we've got Marty on the phone. Now, just to fill you in, he'll tell you a bit more about this. He's actually in Jarvis Bay in a competition.
Oh, half his luck.
Marty, you there?
Yeah, mate. Yes, Charlie. How you going, brother?
How you been?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
Now, mate, I know where you are. You're at Jarvis Bay, the competition, State of Origin. Tell us about the State of Origin and how it happened and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it was really born out of fishnet probably about 10 or 11 years ago. Just, you know, fishnet was really populated by a lot of Victorians and a lot of New South Wales guys. And we got together long time ago, 11 years ago, and decided to have a bit of a fishing comp. It was not much of a fishing comp. It was more like
friendly.
Just a fish with baits, really.
Yeah. Now, Marty, I'm a NRL fanatic, right? So I know State of Origin got its name because there was a lot of Queenslanders who were playing for New South Wales football teams, and then when they picked those teams, what had happened is the Queenslanders would play for New South Wales and the Queensland teams were decimated and they'd get bashed. So what they did is they created this theme called State of Origin. So if you were born in Queensland, you were playing in New South Wales, you still had to represent Queensland. Tell me the State of Origin theme for fishing, how does that work?
Absolutely the same way, except for one bloke who was born in New South Wales.
Yep.
And we all know his name, Paul Anker Barton.
Yeah.
Born in New South Wales, but he plays for Victoria. The rest of us, we're all either born in Victoria or born in New South Wales.
Okay, so that must be Queensland rules, because somehow Queensland seemed to get the New South Welshmen to play for them still. So is that what the Victorians are running with here?
Look, pretty much.
Yeah.
These guys on the south coast of New South Wales have got it all, Big King, Marlin, all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
Well, mate, all we've got is little bluefin and small kings and a couple of little makos and broadbill swordfish. That's all we've got.
But,
and that's what we've got to deal with. Really.
But we still manage to run out on the field and belt them, don't we?
Well, we've knocked them off. Out of the 11 comps, this is the 11th, so out of 10... I've knocked them off 8 times.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because, mate, just clarify one thing for me. If you're a competitor in the State of Origin thing, the Victorians will get out and fish from, like, you know, while it's still dark, and the New South Welshmen will wait for business hours and then they'll put their boats in the water at, like, 8 or 9 o'clock and go, right, now let's go fishing, boys. Is that right?
A lot of gin palaces from New South Wales.
Yeah.
A lot of the bigger boats.
Yeah.
A lot of business hours fishing, as you'd expect. But the big guys get on early and get the job done early and get back in early.
Yeah, and just for the record, I'm born in New South Wales, but I would go by the Victorian rules and I'd be playing for Victoria.
Oh, absolutely, and we've got some good, some handy New South Wales fishermen. You know, the Band of Brothers, Anthony Rako, and those type of guys.
Yeah.
Changer and a lot of very well-known New South Wales and, well, a bit of a crossover Queensland fishermen.
Yeah.
And, we had them down in Tramana. We had them fishing for Snapper in Port Phillip Bay, and they had a bloody blast.
Yeah.
We've had them in Portland a few times. We've had them at Port Mac.
Yeah.
Port McDonald in South Australia. And, you know, we fished Port Stephens a few times. And this is our third third visit to Jervis Bay. So it's
a beautiful place.
It was great. And we fished today, and we had a bit of a go with the boys. And we saw a few marlin free swimming and a lot of bait. And it looks fantastic for the next few days. So I'm sure that there'll be a few marlin caught. Mm.
So what you're saying, it looks fantastic for the next few days. How many days are you up there for?
We're up here till Sunday. We fly out Sunday afternoon. So we've got the next few days fishing, which is good. So we'll fish. We fish today, we fish tomorrow, we fish Saturday, and we can fish Sunday as an optional day if we get blown out weather-wise, but the weather looks fantastic. So I think there'll be a few heavy heads nursing on Sunday morning.
Be pretty disappointed if there's not, mate, seriously.
So none of the guys towed their boats up?
Oh, look, we've had a couple of Vic boys. We've had Ficey, Cody's boat up, anchors driven up. We've had a few bikes fly up, but generally, if we're fishing in another state, those boys, they fix us up at both, so it's all good.
Beautiful, beautiful. And do you know where next year is going to be yet?
A lot of talk at the moment about New Zealand for next year.
Ooh,
nice. We'll wait and see what happens. It's all about kingfish. It's all about doing something different.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
New Zealand and Coromandel and those big kings, it's pretty hard to, walk away from.
You've been there?
I haven't, but I'd like to go.
Oh, it's magnificent.
Yes.
Yeah, it's magnificent.
Been in pictures, big kingfish.
Yeah, we filmed there a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Actually, nice. It was, Coromandel.
I'm a big kings. Well, mate, it sounds good. So give our best to all the boys and have a good time and go out there and get them for Victoria.
Yeah, go to the Mexicans.
Can I give just a very short report about what's happening at home?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, rightio. So Warrnambool, barrels off Warrnambool. Very, very close in. Talking 40 metres of water.
So your backyard at the moment, let's just get this right, because me and Dean want to come and have a crack at these. There is barrels in your backyard.
Off Warrnambool. Wow. Right now.
Okay.
So Darcy and Travis Graham boated one day before yesterday that went 100. We had another one that was boated 2 days before that went 70, and one a couple of days before that went 70. And we had another fish that was caught today, 3 hours, that was lost to the boat. This is all off Warrnambool. So we're not talking about Port Ferry. We're not talking about Portland. We're not talking about Port McDonald. We're talking about Warrnambool. So it's a lot closer. And a lot closer in, so you're only travelling maybe 5 km offshore.
Oh, yeah, you're awesome. Kidding me.
I've been there, fished at Warrnambool.
Yeah,
which is fantastic. And then the other end of the spectrum, which is Port Mac, has had probably 4 or 5 triple-figure fish caught over the past week. So, it's just shaping up. It's just starting to go.
Mm.
And if Portland gets that water and gets that bay stacked up, it's going to be a ripper.
Can't wait.
Mate, we'll be down there, and if you can, mate, we'd love you to jump in the boat with us. Be great.
Well, I'll put Xavier in the boat
because
he's luckier than me.
Yeah, I've seen that, and that Warrnambool show is coming up very soon too.
Excellent, mate. I'll let him know.
What else, buddy?
Look, broom fishing's been excellent. We spent last weekend up at Nelson. Xavier got a nice mulloway. Would have just oversized, let it go. Between the two boats, I think there was 10 mulloway caught. Out of the 10, probably 5 were size. The biggest one would have been around about 85, which is not a bad fish.
Good fish.
Port Mac last Sunday, we fished the shelf, got a few beautiful gem fish, but also 4 bluefin to around 20 kilo and a couple of albacore. Surprisingly, the albacore were in 90 metres of water, which is, if you know anything about albacore, very rare to get them over the shelf.
Yeah.
But these fish, these albacore, were in 90 metres of water, feeding on really small torpedo squid.
Well, there you go.
So Port Mac's just about to go cracking, I reckon.
Mm, very good.
All right, mate. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. We'll be in touch for sure, and we can get out there and do some more filming.
Go on, you fellas. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Go on, Marty. Go to Vicks.
See ya.
Yes, state of origin.
Mate versus mate.
Last week, actually. Yeah, last week, Jay goes to these things a fair bit. He's been to most of them.
He's normally there, isn't he?
Yeah, he just got caught up with work this year. The show on Channel 31 last Saturday was supposed to be the rabbit show. And it wasn't the rabbit show.
Yeah, that's right. I saw you saying
it was the stuff up there, and it was Jay. I mean, still a great show. And that was the state of origin. I don't know if you saw anywhere they were catching the sailfish.
Yeah.
And that was...
I've seen that show before.
No, this is a new one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, this is a new one. This is a fresh one.
He actually filmed that for you, didn't he?
He did. He did a very good job. Mm. All the stuff on Channel 31 at the moment are all new. Never seen before. So there you go.
Better get watching it.
We're going to the RSL on the 12th of May, seeing Ross Wilson.
Very good.
That's going to be a ripper.
He's a star. Now, not long ago, at the start of the show, we were talking about Greek Easter.
Yeah.
And I said to you, why couldn't every Friday be a good Friday?
And?
So that I could kill the seafood.
Yeah, and?
Well, we've got the perfect person on the phone
right
now.
You don't need every day. You've got Tommy. Is that right?
Tommy.
Hello, mate.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Now, I believe you got mobbed the other day. You were walking down the street, and I don't know how come, but they recognised you from when you were here.
Yeah, hey, look, the fame's just gone through the roof. Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do. I might need a couple of bodyguards soon, I reckon.
It's pretty good considering it's radio. I reckon that's awesome.
They all knew what I looked like for some reason.
Yeah. All right, let's get into local stuff. Well, we can't even talk about local stuff. Sorry, we'll just wipe that one out. No local stuff. What's been happening?
Plenty of local Aussie fish on the menu, though. Don't worry about that.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
In terms of the fishing side of things, I went out Tuesday week ago and had a crack on the snapper with my old man, which I haven't done for quite a while.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you got him.
We got a cracking bag of fish.
Way out
deep off Mornington.
Yeah, we were going to go this morning.
Now, just hang on a sec, because my son, I know, would be listening to this show.
Michael.
Now, what did you just say you did? You went out fishing with who?
With my dad.
With your dad.
Michael.
There you go. Now
Michael goes out fishing with you.
Yeah, right.
He does so.
That'll be the day.
I've seen him. He came on my boat.
Yeah.
Hey, it might not be cool, but it's still a bit of fun every now and then.
Seasick Mick. That's what I call him.
Fill us in, mate. Seriously, we were going to go out to this morning, but it's bloody Norvally again.
It was Tuesday week ago, I think. It was one of those nice, glassy, beautiful afternoons.
Beautiful.
So we shot out there, had a stand around, found some, lobbed, and pretty much within an hour, there were a few of us on the boat. Within an hour, there were seven fish on the boat between 3.5 to 6.5 kilo.
Well,
you got a meal of the day.
2:30 in the arvo. We knocked off.
That just doesn't make sense.
And yeah. But by the time the moon started to come up over the land at Mornington there, it was all over.
Okay.
So it was leading into a full moon, which we think may have just turned the fish off a bit. We had a sound, and they seemed to come off the bottom quite a bit after that. So
six fish. That's I'm just trying to calculate. You did sell them, didn't you?
Oh, come on. not a chance.
All right. So what have you been getting in the shop, mate?
Well, plenty of fish coming through, actually, the last week especially. A lot of flathead coming in from Lake's entrance. We're talking a lot. more than we all know what to do with. So
what are they, blue spots or?
They're the tigers, yeah.
Yep, tigers, okay.
They're flying out the door. Now, when I was in there with you guys, we were talking about the price of flathead and how it can be up around the 45 to 60 mark. $33 a kilo at the moment.
That's not bad.
For bloody tails.
That's good.
Isn't that good? Good. That's a very good price.
Yeah.
So plenty of it coming through. The prices are nice and reasonable. So it's a good thing to jump on at the moment.
Now, you gave me a fairly exciting phone call this morning. Why don't you share with our listeners what you told me?
Well, I'm not sure if I should now, because you know what? After I spoke to you, we had 20 of them in this morning, these little critters, and they're all gone, apart from the three that I put aside for you.
Wow, there you go.
So we got a nice shipment down from up north of live mud crabs.
How come it's just Dean and not Charlie? I just don't get it. And it's supposed to be the Charlie and Dean or Dean and Charlie show, you know, like...
Well, when's Maltese Easter, mate? And I'll make sure that you get a special phone call.
Our Easter is every day.
every Friday.
Every Friday, right? Yeah. That's what we were told when we were kids, you know, you see through it every... Remember that? Every Friday?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
It's still the busiest day of our week.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. So a lot of people are still on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the goodies for Greek Easter for this weekend. So we've still got blue swimmers coming through. We've got some nice fresh calamari, beautiful prawns and oysters, and a good range of fresh fish from round Lake's entrance and all down Tassie as well. Yeah. Also some really, really nice mulloway that have come through from up north.
Very good.
What's that like, really? I mean, is it sort of soapy? Nice.
I'll be able to tell you in about half an hour because I've just fired the Barbie up and I'm about to throw some on and have a feed of it.
Yeah,
so.
Mulloway's nice.
I don't know.
The big ones are quite tasty. Yeah, it's a nice, very moist white flesh. Yeah. The small ones are pretty soapy, but the big ones are just sensational.
Mm.
Now, still the King George Whiting is still doing great guns here in Port Phillip Bay. You got those coming in the shop, or you've got them in the shop?
Nah.
What? Are you serious?
We certainly don't.
Ah. There you go. See, now that's why we needed local seafood.
Well, it is. Definitely not getting any local King George through at the moment.
That's tragic. That is no, seriously, that is tragic. Because I mean, a lot of people out there want to eat King George Whiting, you know. Yeah.
You will get South Australian though, won't you?
We will. It's just going to be, the price is just, it's just going to throw things way out of whack.
That's ridiculous.
It's the premium you have to pay for them.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yes, seriously, it's just not right.
We actually got a bin of the little school whiting in today. When I say little, 150 to 180 grams each.
Yeah, wow.
Which is monstrous for them. Yeah, wow. And as far as eating goes, I'd almost take one of them over a King George. They might be snapper bait, but they're a very good feed too.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's good.
All right, mate. Well, thanks for that. We'll give you a call again next week after the Greek Easter.
Not a problem.
Have a good week.
See what's left.
Oh, well, I mean, Dean's coming in there, isn't he? When are you going tomorrow?
He's in there tomorrow.
So, you know, that's it. You'll have to get a complete shop. Brand new shop.
We'll have to put in a big order for Saturday morning to restock, you reckon?
Fill the stocks. Fill them up. Get all the craze. Actually, craze. Are there any craze?
No craze.
Got the bugs, though.
Season's all but over now.
You got bugs, don't you?
We've always got the bugs from Queensland, yeah.
Morton Day bugs?
Yep.
Yeah, they're just as good, if not better, I reckon.
They're like a mini cray.
I did that shoot with Con on Peninsula Seafood Show.
On the Malastar.
They were getting all those prawns. And then they also got the bycatch. They call it a bycatch of – they're a different bug, though. I'm trying to remember the name of them now.
Balmain.
Yeah, Balmain.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's them.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable, Tommy. They really were.
They're phenomenal. The way they've almost got a hint of garlic to them.
That's correct. Spot on.
Tommy, why do they call them Balmain bug? Is it because that's where they came from?
Well, I think there is a bug the same as them that they catch up around the Balmain area.
Yeah.
They just tend to get them all the way down the coast here. They also get a deep sea bug. Sometimes the trawlers off Portland get a deep sea bug, which is quite a fair bit smaller, but equally just as awesome to eat.
Mm.
But you are correct about that garlic taste. It's amazing, isn't it? You can taste the garlic.
I've had them.
Yeah.
When you cook them, it's just, amazing. The smell and the flavour of them, it's unreal.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for that. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
See you tomorrow.
Fantastic, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, Dean.
All right, see ya.
Bye. Tom, we forgot to ask him where he is.
Big Fish Market.
Located at?
Corner of Astor Avenue and Frankston, Dandenong Road in
Carrum Downs. That sign's huge.
Big Fish Market.
It's got an actual fish, and it's a big blue and yellow fishy and all that.
Go and ask for Tommy and tell him you listen to the show.
Okay, we're on the home stretch now. Some fishing reports before we go to Jay.
Yep.
Now, past of 2 days.
2 days, yeah. Now, even though we're coming into some really horrible weather, we've come from some very nice weather.
Yeah.
The Anzac Day long weekend. And I was lucky enough, I said to my fishing buddy, Andy, let's go out and get some stuff, you know, and I went out on the Saturday. When did we go? Saturday morning.
Saturday with Gwayne.
Saturday morning with Gwayne, and we got onto the Whiting. We ended up getting sort of out at Port Phillip Bay here. We ended up getting something like 40 whiting in the space of, oh, I don't know, 40 minutes or 50 minutes.
I was going to ask, is it fairly easy?
Yeah, quick, bang, bang, bang.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, and then we sort of, so just to give you an idea, right, we got to the boat ramp at 7:30 and we had the boat in the water by 8. So we're fishing New South Wales hours now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We had the boat in the water by 8, and by the time we got out onto the mark, it was probably 8:30, anchored up, etc., burly, ready to go, 8:45.
Mm.
We fished till, I reckon, I don't know, mate, 10 o'clock.
Where'd you launch?
10:15 at Martha Cove.
Martha Cove, yeah.
Yep, 10 o'clock, 10:15. We fished till then. We got our whiting on the boat, and there was like boats everywhere, right? So and that's a big thing, right? Just because they're easy to catch doesn't mean everyone's catching them. We were sort of, boats are so close, like they're anchored one on top of the other.
Bugger that.
Yeah, you can see who's catching what. We were really one of the only boats that was putting the whiting on the boat that day, which was quite good. So we were getting them on Pippi and Mussel, using the just little bait hole, small hooks we were using, right? So little
4-0s.
Yeah, no, size sixes we were using, like a bait holder, a long shank six, and just like absolutely killing them. And then what we did is we came back into Dramana, had a little bit of a drift for about half an hour, and put 20 odd calamari on the boat.
So wow,
it was an absolutely sensational day. Now I kept, I don't know, probably I took 6 or 8 home, and Andy took 6 or 8 home, and we ended up with another 6 or 8 that we kept as bait, and what we did is we went offshore. Mm. Now, you know, I obviously told you my drone sagas last week. Well, while I was...
I didn't bring it up. I didn't want to...
Yeah, while
hey,
I
Mitch,
was...
Mitch, have you seen the drone?
Yeah.
I haven't. It's back up.
Yeah, it's in orbit. Someone,
still around.
Someone said to me they saw it flying through Portland.
Wait, what's that out there? At the window? Yeah. There we go.
I actually bought myself a couple more GoPros. So I've now got 3 GoPros. So I've got different angles that I set these things up on the boat.
Mr. Producer.
Yeah, Mr. Producer. And what I did is we went offshore and we had a crack at the gummies, you know.
This
is Sunday. So went offshore and we had a crack at the gummies. But even then we were out for an hour and a bit. Andy was feeling a little bit crook, you know.
Where'd you launch there?
Hastings, and right. We went out.
That's what, about 20 Ks?
Oh, no, more than that. It's probably about 35, 40 Ks by the time we get out to where we were going, just sort of out past Cape Schenck we were.
Yeah.
And we got on to, in the space of an hour and a half, we got on to 3 really good 7-gill sharks that we brought up. Now, the spot that I've got is the sort of spot that you will go 7-gill, 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 then you might go gummy, you know, and a really good gummy. And
you know why?
You fish through them. That's,
no.
Why?
7-gills eat gummies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand, yes. Sorry, I didn't realise where you were going that. Yeah, you're right. Well, I actually, it's funny you should say that, because I saw a post on Facebook where someone hacked open a 7-gill and found a kingfish in it as well.
Mate, they are the scavengers. They are. Mm. People don't realise how smart they are. They are very, very smart. Saw a documentary the other day on the telly, and they are one of the oldest, if not the oldest, shark that we have in the system.
Yeah.
You know, like very smart. There was one actually, it was punching on, believe it or not, with a great white.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Unbelievable. This thing was like 200 kilos.
Yeah.
Very, very smart. But the thing is, they hunt in pack.
Yeah.
They're always they're a pack hunter.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a fact, man. Where you find a lot of, you know, 7-gills like that, you'll find the gummies there as well.
Gummies as well, yeah. So, but we didn't hang around long enough to get a gummy, but I was pretty happy. We got some good footage of 7-gills, and I had one of my GoPros in the water, so I got some good shots of the 7-gill swimming past the camera and that. Mm. Yeah, it's a amazing, you know, the kind of stuff that
the GoPros.
That, yeah,
GoPros,
they're amazing little cameras. Yeah. I got like it, the Hero, the GoPro Heroes, two of them, and yeah. I've also got the little GoPro Session, you know, the little cube.
So you've got it on the stick?
Selfie stick, yeah.
Just make sure you don't drop it.
No, I've got the good selfie
stick. So what'd you get you in the water to get it? Well, yeah. It has a depth, 30 metres or 40 metres or something?
Yeah, about 30 metres.
Yeah, you're in that sounds like a good spot. I've got to get there.
Yeah, it is really good spot. So,
All right, well, that sounded like a fantastic couple of days,
mate. Did you manage to get out? You didn't, did you? Why?
Well, because I didn't get my boat. So I just got my boat back.
Now you have got it back. Woo!
After 3 months.
Sensational.
Yeah, and now the weather's been lousy.
But all good things come to those who wait.
It's come up $1 million. It looks good. I haven't fully wrapped it.
Yep.
I've just put just a little bit of a wrap at the back.
Yep.
And the sponsors, for example, I put it on the glass doors. It's really classy.
Yep.
But the main thing is it's full in survey now. I've got my numbers on there. I can work. I can go and make a living with the charters. And, mate, don't worry, I'm going to work this thing because it is, as you know, a special boat.
Yeah.
So very, very excited about getting it all.
Sensational. Well, that's good because it has been a long haul for you.
Yes.
You've been sort of – you got your boat before Christmas.
Yeah, but prior to that, it was about 8 months of talking and – doing this and but anyway,
You got your boat, it was supposedly not going to be that much of a drama, but you were always prepared for a battle, weren't you?
With all due respect to marine safety and because of our strict rules, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
nothing is easy when you're putting something in survey. It's as simple as that.
Well, so, it can't be, Chuck, because you've got people's lives
at
stake.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, we've all got another one of our very special friends on the phone,
Mr. Furness.
How are we, guys?
You well, bud?
Yeah, mate, not too bad at all. As you know, I've got something in my driveway we can't talk about at the moment, but I've been going over it. I'm pretty happy, actually.
Yeah, that's coming along quite well. But, mate, firstly, I just want to talk about the picture that you sent me last Monday. Anzac Day, I was sitting there watching the game.
Monday.
And this photo came through, and it was this flathead and a half, mate. I mean, we've caught some big flatheads, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about it, mate.
Is that what's sitting in your driveway?
I was actually planning on going offshore, but the swell was still up, and I had a mate come down from Melbourne. I hadn't caught up with him a year or so, and went out for squid, and it was 18 to 22 knots northerly, which was, great fun fishing for squid. We still managed our bag, and by about midday, we're prepared to go in. I said, let's just go for a quick look over the south stands there and throw some plastic, and he was a little bit kind of complexed about it all, and I said, no, mate, we'll be right. And within 5 minutes, I got my personal best flooded, which I was pretty stoked about.
Yeah, that was a horse, mate.
Yeah, so I went 2.4 kilo and 68 centimetres or something. Yeah,
wow. That's big fish.
Good fish.
Now I believe it went pretty hard.
It did. Yeah. Well, look, at one stage I didn't know whether I've got my line out probably a good 30 metres, 25-30 metres, and I didn't know whether it might have been a sneaky salmon in there just by chance. That's how hard it went. So. Got it to the boat, and then it took another really good run. And Charlie, I only use light gear when I'm fishing like that, so I had the eggy right out, and it was a lot of fun.
So the old knees were shaking a bit, mate. You're telling me today?
Yeah, for sure, mate. When you see something like that, when you've got a net the size of a gap of about 40 centimetres on the boat, we got it in the net and it flicked into the boat, so we're pretty lucky.
So it was a blue spot.
I actually think it might have been a yank.
Yank, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So how many did you end up with for the day?
We got half a dozen, but...
Oh, that's all right.
That was the biggest, but the others were kind of between 54 and 50, so...
Nice. Who is your friend that you're fishing with?
A mate of mine, Steve. I met him actually years ago on Fishnet, probably about 7-8 years ago on Fishnet.
So I suppose he's converted now, mate?
Now, speaking of fishing, you'd normally be fishing the State of Origin this time of the year, wouldn't you?
Well, I was supposed to be there, Dean, but I had a couple of appointments from work I couldn't get out of, and from the reports that have already been coming through, I can tell you now it's a bit heartbreaking for me. The boys did well yesterday. They went, one of the crews went 4-4-2, averaging stripes around the 100 kilo mark.
Yeah.
One of the other blokes went 4-4-0, but this isn't even the start of the comp. These are just guys going out there and checking out the conditions. But yeah, the comp starts tomorrow and finishes on Saturday, and the boys will come out Sunday. But
we're talking to Marty before.
And just quickly, Jay, you're quoting some numbers just for our listeners, mate. What were you actually quoting? 4-4-2, 4-4-0?
Basically, the first number is raising the fish, the second number is strike, the third number is catching or landing the fish. If you've got four strikes or four raised fish, then you might have four hookups, and then you might have two conversions at the end of the day where you've actually got into the boat, tagged, and
For the listeners that are, you know, that fish down here on a regular basis, obviously for the next few months, we don't stop. What would you say that's a typical sort of species to catch over the next few months, particularly obviously getting into winter?
Oh, mate, the way the squid and the whiting go at the moment, I don't think you can go past any better, you know, better fishing down here. They're a great average size, those whiting out there. Most of the I'm finding are going on that last hour and a half, the first hour and a half of the change of the tide. More so in the afternoon over the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
But it really hasn't mattered. If you go out there and get that burley going, the other day I was out there and a mate of mine was 100 metres away, or 150 metres away, and the fish came onto him probably about 15 minutes before they got to me.
Yeah.
Followed burley trail up to me, and then I finally got them. So, you know, you really got to get the burley going. But that'd be the main thing. The gummies are still out there, as you know, Charlie. There's still some good fish around. I think the bread and butter stuff is probably your calamari and whiting still this time of year.
Offshore, buddy, as you know, we do a fair bit of fishing offshore from now on, and particular areas down there. That's obviously a very exciting part of what we do.
It is, and you know, this is a good time if the conditions are right offshore. Obviously, tuna, and who knows, they might turn up at Bowen Heads again this year. Who knows when and where, but there's still good fishing. You'll still get the snapper offshore now. It's getting a little bit cold for diving out there, but there's still.
Oh, come on.
I'm still keen to get out there, mate. As you know, I've got a new bubble machine.
We're going to get out there and give that a crack. When did the tuna roll up last year? I can't remember now.
That was late October.
Okay. October?
Just as we were coming into snapper. Remember, that's why a lot of people weren't fishing for snapper.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting times. All right, mate. Now, before we go, real estate, what's happening?
Well, the big news, mate, as you know, is we've changed. I'm no longer with First National Bank. Well, basically the same office, same company and operation and everything. But we're now under the eView banner, which does a lot of work with the current radio station. So a mate of mine, Jared Carman, I believe, does a bit of talking down there. Jared can talk a lot. So he's currently overseas in Europe. Enjoying some ventures over there. But, yeah, mate, eView Southern Peninsula, we've got a lot of traction on the peninsula from Frankston all the way down here. There's a lot of great agents. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting times.
So you no longer are with that First National franchise, is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah, Dean. So it's just a different banner, as you know.
Yeah, same office, just different
name. Same team, same company. Mm. But, yeah, just under the new EV banner, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, they've got a good, fresh approach to real estate, and they're really doing well, and they've got a lot of traction down here on the Southern Peninsula.
Yeah, great work. Awesome. How's the market going? Has it slowed up a bit? Because, I mean, listening to I watch TV and the news and everything, they reckon that the real estate market is going to slow. They reckon Queensland, New South Wales definitely corrected, but might be Queensland as well. I think they said Victoria is the only one that hasn't had its correction yet, but it will. What's your opinion?
It's all speculation and crystal ball at the end of the day, Dean. You know, it's very hard to go.
Yep.
You know, GFC down here years ago, 2007, the first thing people predicted were the holiday homes to go.
Yep.
And guess what, mate? They didn't.
Yep.
You know, it was case scenario. People put tenants into them. You know, they hang on to their assets. We're a limited opportunity on the peninsula, I think. So when it becomes supply and demand, and you've got a lot of demand, people wanting to move down here and potentially retire, the prices just drive up. You know,
but Jay, would it be fair to say? Would it be fair to say that mentality has changed, mate? That this freeway has made it such an accessible place now, the Mornington Peninsula, that you're finding a lot of the people that used to spend their holidays down here are now spending their whole life down here. Would that be a fair comment, you think?
Well, you can do 70 kilometres and spend an hour and a half in traffic, or you can do 40 kilometres and spend an hour and a half in traffic and live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want to do? Lifestyle, bush, beach, you know, fishing, surfing, golfing around your wineries, as opposed to living in the burbs, and bang for buck down here, mate. It's pretty good buying.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I'm seeing, mate, because obviously I run businesses down here as well. And I know, and I look at our VFACTS and the number of cars, etc., that are being sold into this PMA nowadays, and where our numbers are up, right? And they're predicting that our numbers are going to grow even more because of the new roads and that have gone in. You know what I mean? And they're just helping. We're finding that a lot more people are staying down here. They're not going back to the western suburbs. Gosh, I know I've got mates of mine that have got houses down there that say, mate, we're selling where we used to live and we're going to stay down here now, you know?
Well, you know, and the people that have got the, you know, the good dollars down there that have the holiday house, you know, here, the good dollars up in Melbourne with the primary house, they, if anything, are downsizing, so they've still got something up there with the vision of retiring in the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's really the market we're seeing. We are seeing the younger market coming down as well, but are prepared to commute back to the city and potentially set up work, you know, 2-3 days a week from home, which, you know, a lot of work these days is becoming internet-based.
Yeah.
The peninsula is all a go, and I really can't see the bubble bursting down here. Mm. We've heard it a couple of times in the past, or in the 10 years I've been down here, and yes, the market has slowed a little bit. That is only because there's not much stock coming on the market. I can tell you now, mate, I'm sold out, so if anyone wants to sell, I've got buyers.
Yeah, Jay was telling me the other day, he's got no stock.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, Watch this space, I reckon. Watch this space. I don't think it'll... I agree with you, mate. I can't see a place with such a massive amount of growing to happen yet ever slow down, you know what I mean? So there's so much land for building and stuff down here, it's just never going to
stop. And that's it, Dean. You know, where can you get 800, 900 square metres of land surrounded by a bit of trees, you know, anywhere from 600 metres to a kilometre away from the ocean or the bay for 600,000-700,000 and have yourself a nice, comfortable four-bedroom, two-bathroom home, double garage?
Yeah, it's hard to do, so...
All right, we've got to rock and roll. We're running out of time, buddy. All right, thanks for that. We'll talk to you again very soon.
No worries, guys.
Good
on you,
pal. Take it easy.
Okay.
There you go. The bay is pumping.
It's a place to be. Mornington Peninsula.
Just imagine if we had good weather.
Yep. Imagine if we had good weather.
All right, so what's on for the weekend for you, mate?
Mate, just Greek Easter. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to chill.
That's it. You just stay at home with your family and you just eat.
I have to go and buy food to cook.
Yeah, but you're going to do that tomorrow, aren't you?
No.
With Tommy, Friday.
No, I'm going to buy food for tomorrow night. Then I've got to buy food for Sunday as well.
So you go back and forward.
Yeah, I get my my family coming over. So we're going to have my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and all the people that would normally come over, and I cook up a storm. So
cool.
Yep.
Well, mate, just quickly running over the weather. I've at this stage, it's pretty much you know what until Wednesday. And I've never seen a spate of weather where it's this normally. Or, you know, normally you get northerlies for a couple of days, as you know, and then it changes back to a southwesterly or whatever.
But brother,
it's just been amazing.
It's going to blow a gale, and then what happens when you come off the blow?
I think that's overrated.
Yeah, I reckon.
You know,
it's not.
You know, at the end of the day, I keep telling you, forget this fishing rod stuff. Get in the water with a spear gun.
You just
can't beat it, mate.
Yeah, no problems.
All right, that's it.
Bayside Adventures.
Another week gone, mate. We all right? We'll see
Take
you next
it
week.
Easy. We will talk again.
Have a good week.
Bayside Adventures out.
Bye.